Jeez, dude, you need to change your blinker fluid.
That's not a thing.
And your thoracic couplet is totally shot.
Really?
It is.
Look, nothing gets by me. Just like this oil filter. Nothing gets by Purolator.
Hey, if you're using Purolator Boss, you know your stuff.
Oh, yeah. Protection up to 15,000 miles.
Ooh, but you really should replace your Vesuvius valve.
Stop talking.
Purolator oil, air, and cabin air filters. Nothing gets by us. Available at Advance Auto Parts, Pep Boys, and other fine retailers.
Welcome, everybody, to a second edition of Walk on Wisconsin, a Bucky's fifth quarter production. This is Jay Kokorowski. We got my co-author, assistant coach at Brookfield Central, and former Wisconsin Badgers walk-on tight end. We got Joel Nellis here. Happy Wednesday. Hope you guys are enjoying the week and the nice weather while it lasts before the cold weekend and before the number six Wisconsin Badgers head to Purdue, to West Lafayette, to take on the Purdue Boilermakers, who are very much struggling and head coachless, really. So, before we get into that, and we got, you know, we have Joel here coming up. We're going to play some interviews from Connor Udelhoven, the long snapper, a former walk-on himself, who's now long snapped since 2013, his redshirt freshman year, following in the steps of one Matt Catula, as Joel would know very well from his playing days. We'll also, probably in the next 15 minutes or so, talk with Bobby Adamoff, former strong safety, former outside linebacker for the Wisconsin Badgers, a Rose Bowl winner, team captain, for the 1998 squad that won the 1999 Rose Bowl. So we'll talk to him about what he sees out of this year's team, his story, along with obviously a big game was that 1998 Purdue outing where Drew Brees threw over 80 passes and a Jamal Fletcher pick six sealed the win for Wisconsin on way to Pasadena. So, Joel, how you doing? And how, you know, you're talking about, you know, it's been, I mean, you were in town. We had a book signing this past week, weekend, I should say, on Saturday. And, you know, big thanks to everyone that came out. And, you know, it's always fun seeing people. And, I mean, you're popular here, obviously, with your former students coming to say hi and everything. It's just, it was great seeing everyone and, you know, getting to know everyone. And, I mean, people that we talked to, I think you and I talked probably for, gosh, 5 or 10 minutes with certain, you know, fans, and it was a great opportunity, you know, and big thanks to the University Bookstore for allowing us to do that.
Yeah, it's fun to when you get to come out and people get to say hello, and some people have no idea what you're doing, and you do a great job of wrangling them in to tell them about what's happening, but it's neat to see, you know, people, oh, yeah, I've heard about that on social media, or I've seen that on Twitter or whatnot, and you were lucky enough to meet one of your loyal followers, right? And so that was really cool. It's just fun when you get to sit down and talk to people that really appreciate Badger football. So yeah, it was an exciting event, and again, thanks to the UW Bookstore for opening up their doors. Our man Dwayne is always a good chat, and yeah, we're excited to maybe go back there again maybe for graduation weekend, so we'll just kind of have to wait and see. But I was just excited to see a win that we didn't really have to be all that concerned about heading into, well, almost the second half, really. You know, felt good to see that W kind of get settled pretty early in the game there.
Yeah, and in that, I mean, 21 first quarter points, not just first half points, first quarter points on right. Way to 31-3 halftime lead. The final score, 48-3, Wisconsin with their homecoming win, a dominating win against the Fighting Illini that are still rebuilding underneath the guise and leadership of one Lovie Smith. And, you know, we start this off, and for those that are listening for the first time, we'll recap quickly some of the walk-ons that contributed. This is Walk-On Wisconsin, where we will focus in on the walk-on tradition at Wisconsin and who's making plays. You guys wonder why, and just as a quick recap of this, Joel and I wrote a book called Walk On This Way, the ongoing tradition the ongoing legacy of the Wisconsin football walk-on tradition. You guys can find it at kcisports.com. Find it at hopefully some Barnes & Nobles coming up, university bookstore locations, and Bucky's Locker Room. And, you know, it's a great book. We hope you guys read it. This is why we're doing part of the podcast, you know, this podcast, in essence, to help spread the word and show each week now, as we'll go into this Illinois game, how much the Wisconsin walk-on tradition means to this team, which has become one of the pillars of its success, and what Barry Alvarez told us as the edge of this program, or one of the edges that gives this program such success. So, looking at that, and you know, let's look at the offensive side of the ball first, Joel. Dare Ogunbowale, team captain, we've talked about him before, had 120 yards against Nebraska on 11 carries, comes back at Camp Randall, 103 yards on only 7 carries. It's almost 15 yards per touch for him, for the senior out of Milwaukee Marquette. And he's forming a really nice just duo, or even a trio now. You're seeing Bradrick Shaw, the redshirt freshman from Hoover, Alabama, former four-star talent, making headwinds now, making finding carries. I think it's now – he had 19 carries this week, or this past week, 11 against Northwestern. But, you know, Corey Clement, 123 yards. Ogunbowale is that nice change of pace back. You hear about that a lot, but – out of that 11 personnel, the draws, the stretch draw, if you want to call it that, with the lineman pulling, they found success with him running the ball. And a lot of people thought that he'd be the one catching the ball out of the backfield more, but he's being utilized more as a runner this year.
Yeah, and you're seeing a lot of, you know, watching them a little bit, right? You said the outside stretch plays, you know, limited cuts, trying to get him in space, which is kind of interesting when you think about, you know, Corey Clement being obviously very physical, but has a ton of burst as well. So it's not like, you know, it's interesting when you say change of pace, because it's not like either of them aren't fast.
Right.
But it's just something different that maybe people are alluding to or concerned about. You know, you'll see some things where the safeties will roll down the box because now they're anticipating that outside stretch play out of 11 personnel, but it doesn't seem to matter much, and he does a good job of finding the crease. And, you know, can obviously take it a lot of yards past the box. So, he's a dynamic athlete. And like you said, they're forming a good mix. And obviously they don't really probably all care how many carries they all get, as long as there's a W coming up on the other side. So,
yeah, during next week's player availability, I may have to ask Dare. I got a turkey bowl possibly on Thanksgiving at my alma mater at Greenfield. I may have to ask him how to use that first move. He always has that first cut step, and if I can somehow use that against my former high school mates, I am not in shape. But if I could just get one move without like tearing a knee, I think that'll help if I do participate. So we'll have to see if he can give me some pointers on that. On the defensive side of the ball, you know, you have Ryan Connolly, inside linebacker, again stepping in for another former walk-on, and Jack Stitchy leads the team in tackles with 6, has his first career interception, also 1.5 tackles for loss. Another solid outing for Connolly, and you, I think you and I talked about it before, Joel, right? He's the glue. Kind of the glue in terms of that, in terms of just filling in where he needs to, and he's making an impact. It's quite impressive to see what, you know, the Minnesota native's done.
I'm just really excited that he got a pick, because I think that kind of puts him on the map. You know, tackles, just a big tackle game, somehow doesn't seem to draw enough attention. So I was really hoping he would have scored, because I think that would have really propelled him forward in terms of maybe not a national scene, but certainly the Big Ten scene. And you have to believe that, you know, at the end of the day, it's not about the media coverage. It's about the respect he gets when the coaches turn on the film. And it's probably evident from that. He's a Big Ten linebacker, and he's going to be all over the place making the same plays. And just like you said, another example of a guy just stepping up when his opportunity came and making the most of it.
Absolutely. Running out special teams, obviously P.J. Ruzalski doing his thing, looking at with him out of his touchbacks. He kicked 9 times, which obviously with so many scoring opportunities, and of course the halftime, right? 6 touchbacks, averaging 63.2 yards per kick, a real revelation on his part. Also Andrew Endicott, after some rough outings the past 3 weeks against Iowa, Nebraska, Northwestern, comes back, hits both field goals from 21 and 37 yards out, and then on top of that, nails those extra points. And all of them were good and successful. And that was one, two, three, four, yeah, five, six extra points. So, you and I will both talk about this in a little bit, right? Where we'll do our, we have a little PSA we want to talk about and just kind of just discuss some things just with Endicott's struggles, and now he's rebounding. Paul Chris mentioned how he's rebounded nice and liked his approach in the Monday press conference earlier this week. But we'll get back to that a little bit later. But just real quick, nice seeing the California native getting back on track, and he was quite busy on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, he was, and I'm just glad, like you said, that he's back in form, and not back in form, but you know, we talked about this too. It's a guy who hadn't kicked a field goal since high school, and you know, really has just continued to, I think, strike the ball well, and continue to grow in that area. And obviously, he's going to come in clutch down the stretch. So, the more they go through the uprights, the confidence grows, and it's part of the psychology of, you know, being a kicker. It's not an easy task. There's a lot more to it than people think. And it was good to see him have a successful day again.
Absolutely. We'll get into more on that a little bit later. Looking at this week, current rankings, they're number six in both the AP and coaches polls. Those don't matter. What you're looking at is the college football playoff rankings. In its third week, UW did not move up. They're number seven right now, right in front of them, Washington, and Clemson, or no, not Clemson, Louisville at, you have the Huskies at number six after their loss to USC. You have Louisville up there. Clemson still number four. Michigan still number three. So, and I don't know what your opinion of it is. I thought maybe they'd bump up to six, maybe in front of Washington, Joel, just due to the fact that the strength of schedule has been so daunting for Wisconsin. But what's your thoughts on them? And obviously, it's still tons of time. Don't get me wrong. This is, you know, this builds up suspense and will get people talking, obviously, which is a facet of why I think they're doing this so early in the season. But regardless, we're talking about it. But what were just your thoughts when you heard that they were number seven in mid-November?
It's hard to take stock this early. You know, it's much like the Badgers losing yesterday. Nothing says, at least in college football and college basketball, especially, you don't have to be undefeated to win the national championship. And that's a hard thing to do. But to me, it's always about when you lose. So I feel like the Badgers are still sitting in a pretty good spot. And, you know, it's going to be one of those things where it's going to be interesting to see. Well, obviously, Michigan or Ohio State will have to lose a second time, which will be good. And then you'll have to kind of see where the chips fall, because it's definitely a possibility where, you know, we may go on to the Big Ten championship game, play an opponent like Penn State, and then still be left out of the big four, depending if someone else collects another loss or whatnot. So, you know, it's kind of a mystery, but I'm excited where they're at. You know, I think for the losses that they've had, the wins that they've had, the dynamic of the team, like their defense, you can count on 100%. Their offense is still finding their groove, and I think they're going to be in a good position at the end of the year. They're going to like where they stand, and I think there's, you know, some things out there, some opportunities for them, but they know as good as anybody, they just got to take care of the task at hand. So not like the next two wins are guaranteed.
Exactly, and this team is focused, I think, and just hearing and talking to them, they're not taking anyone for granted. There's that outside noise that even they had a team meeting about last week that Alec James told me about, and they're focused in, and that's what you want to hear, and that's what you want to see out of this team. So we'll see what comes of it coming up. We're going to preview the Purdue game in just a little bit. What we're going to do now, we're going to play just a couple minutes of our two-part interview with long snapper Connor Udelhoven. Current Wisconsin long snapper, talking about his story. We'll get into that in a two-part. After that, we're going to have former outside linebacker Bobby Adamoff on, talking about his career and talking about Purdue, that great 1998 game that really was impressive, and talking about just how much offense there was. We'll talk with Bobby about his experience playing in that game, along with just his great career and his great story. So here's Connor Udelhoven here on Walk On Wisconsin.
Yeah, we're here on Bucky's fifth quarter with Connor Udelhosen, long snapper for the Wisconsin Badgers. And is it crazy that, honestly, 10 games in, 2 games left in the regular season, just it's crazy how time flew?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you look at when you came back after the bowl game, after winter break last year, and you're looking up at the clock. We had countdown, I think, till fall camp, and that was 200 and some days. And you're looking at that, and you're like, geez, when's fall camp going to come? When are the games starting? And now that we got into them finally, like you said, we're in our, I guess, 11th game now, and it's just absolutely flew by. And it's when you're in the season, I guess, you know, they kind of, as I always think, a lot of people say, but it's really true. You know, the days sometimes can be long, but the weeks and months are real short.
Yeah, and you know, you guys are heading to Purdue this weekend, but you know, there might be some, from what it sounds like, possibly some rainy conditions, not necessarily inclement in terms of severe, but
sure,
some crummy conditions. As a long snapper, how do you approach that with, you know, let's say it's slick out there or it's maybe windy? How do the weather and the elements really play into being a long snapper?
Sure, yeah. During the week, not really something you're thinking about. You know, I really just judge what the weather is going to be like, the temperature, if it's raining, snowing, whatever, once I walk out on Saturday. And then, you know, you figure out, it's not something to really be thinking during the week. You just kind of figure it out once you're on the field. And really, not too much changes. You don't want to let the outside environment change anything you do, because what we do, I guess, I'm snapping the ball 8 yards or I'm snapping the ball 14 yards. So what you do really doesn't change. If it's raining, the ball gets a little slicker. You loosen up your grip a little bit, kind of just like a baseball bat. You know, you don't want to grip it too hard. You just kind of, your hands tighten up on it. So that way with the rain, you know, you just make that small adjustment. But mechanically, really nothing changes.
What's the difference between, you know, a long snap, you know, for a punt compared to a field goal PAT attempt?
Yeah, certainly. You know, your, I guess, margin for error is a little smaller on the PAT just because you're aiming at a smaller spot. It's, you know, being at 8 yards, some people are aiming from 7 to 8 yards. We're at 8 yards. And the punt, we're at 14. So really the biggest thing is getting your lower half involved a little bit more. With field goals, you're going to use a little bit of your legs, but not too much, because if you're sliding your heels back, you're going to end up hitting the offensive lineman. And with that one, you try to always get it, you always want your snap to be the same, but you try to get the holder in the best spot where you can just put it down and the laces will be out. Then with punts, you know, the punter, it's going to be more difficult to get it every time where the laces are exactly up. So that's not much of a worry. Really, that one, you're just worried about speed and accuracy. So the biggest thing, like I said, I guess just getting the lower body involved a little bit more.
Guys, that was Connor Udelhoven, long snapper for the Wisconsin Badgers here on Walk On Wisconsin. And transitioning there from a current walk on, we're really happy to have him on. We highlighted his story in Walk On This Way, the ongoing legacy of the Wisconsin football walk on tradition. We got Bobby Adamoff on. Bobby, thanks for taking some time late tonight here on the podcast. How you doing, and what are you doing nowadays?
Yeah, thanks for having me on, and congratulations on the book, guys. That did a great job of telling the stories of just a lot of great guys out there. So I work in the pharmaceutical industry. Just joined a company based out of Chicago. I live in North Carolina, so I travel up here pretty often, and it's been a good career since I left Madison.
That's awesome. Yeah, with that, you know, let's talk about. You were up here for the LSU game up at Lambeau, and you know, on that, what in your opinion? I mean, how was the experience for you? Because I mean, I was covering the game, so obviously I was, you know, up in the press box and just seeing. Feeling the energy that way as a former Wisconsin player, as a former Wisconsin, you know, alum and team captain, just what did you see, you know, coming back with this team and what have you seen throughout the season with this team?
Yeah, this team is fun to watch. You know, especially on the defensive side, which I tend to probably pay more attention to just because of my background. Those guys look like they're having so much fun out there, which is, it's really fun to see as a defensive player. I don't know, maybe it's just like the older school ball player that I am now, which kind of seems weird to say that, but we seem like much more serious, you know, kind of have that scowl on your face and be kind of mean and kind of mad. And these guys, they're, you know, have big smiles on their faces and, you know, they're obviously still getting the job done. This is probably one of the best defenses that I've seen Wisconsin have. And they're just having a great time and just doing a great job this year. It's fun to watch. And then the Lambeau experience, what a great atmosphere for those kids. You know, I wish we'd had a chance to do something like that. Coach Alvarez got us to a lot of great stadiums. So I can't say that we didn't play in great stadiums, because we did. But growing up in Sturgeon Bay, having season Packer tickets, you know, just seeing that atmosphere in Green Bay and knowing what the players felt, you know, coming out of that tunnel, having such a big game, LSU, that was, I guess, ranked in the top five at the time. You know the adrenaline, and you know those emotions that are going through. And then, you know, being that team in Lambeau Field, what a great experience for them. And they came out to play. The coaches had them ready to go. And, you know, they really did stick it to them, I thought. They played a great game.
Well, Bobby, we have to ask you, you know, you had to make the you didn't have to make the transition. You were just such a gifted athlete that you had to switch from safety to outside linebacker. So now you said you watched the defense, and obviously – the safety play from the Badgers with Leo Musso and Dakota Dixon has obviously been phenomenal, but then you also have phenomenal outside linebacker play. So which position do you hone in on the most, having obviously played both of them, and maybe comment on one of the two of the guys that are maybe in either position that you really enjoy watching and what they add to the team?
So I still consider myself to this day a strong safety. That's what I went in at. And I guess, you know, when I was at Wisconsin, like, other outside linebackers in the Big Ten were LeVar Arrington, and I was not that, right? So maybe a hair over 6 foot, but I just kept gaining weight. And yeah. So I found myself at, you know, 220 pounds. It was probably the biggest strong safety in the country. But I still want to relate as a strong safety. But you kind of know what's going on, even though it's not the exact defense that we played. So you do watch. Musso's great flying around. I mean, he's everywhere on the field, and he's fun to watch. And what really strikes me with the defense, and especially the linebackers, is the depth. You know, for a couple of weeks, you'd have guys continue to go down, and then new guys would step up, and then they just keep playing and be players of the week and tackles behind the line of scrimmage and making big plays flying around the field. The depth is just crazy this year, and that's just a testament to the coaches getting those players ready, and really a testament to the players themselves of keeping their heads in the game. And when it's time to step up, Coach Alvarez used to say that all the time, like, you don't know when your opportunity is going to come, but when it comes, you need to take advantage of it, because that will be your time. And, you know, the players for Wisconsin right now are just continuing to take advantage of their opportunity and drive that team forward.
We're here with Bobby Adamoff here on Walk On Wisconsin, here on Bucky's Fifth Quarter. And Bobby, you know, it was funny, just, you know, it's Purdue week, and we wanted to have you on for this because you were part of it's been discussed on social media. I know Zach Heilprin, our friend over at The Zone here in Madison, and he also writes for Land of 10, was talking about, he was going back and forth with Joel and I about just some of the amazing games. Joel was part of the, you know, 04 game, with the with that fumble by Kyle Orton that was returned for a touchdown. But, you know, before that, you know, 6 years earlier, you played in an amazing game against Drew Brees, one that offensively was crazy, just the amount of yards that you saw Brees put up. What did you remember from that game, and just the emotions, the jump around, obviously, was another big facet of it. And if I'm not mistaken, they ran, was it over 100 plays, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah. I don't remember the exact number, but it was, you know, over 100, which was a lot more than, you know, we'd typically be on the field for. Just remember, on the defense, that was when Purdue was making that transition during that period of kind of being that run-and-shoot team in the Big Ten, which there wasn't a whole lot of. I mean, it was stack everybody in the box and try to run each other over. And, you know, Purdue came in and they had some success early on with that. And then when we played them, it was really, you know, a bend. We know that they're going to continue to take some shots, but don't break. And, you know, because of that, I mean, they would throw off these dump passes, a couple yard stop routes, some quick slants, some quick outs, and it just kept going on and on, you know. So maybe the corners were a little far back, and as a outside linebacker or strong safety trying to get out to the flat and just tackle these guys before they would get the first down or not give up any big plays, and then relied on players to just make plays. Fletch had the pick six, which was a big one. I think it was Bobby Myers picked Drew off in the end zone. And then, you know, on the offensive side, Ron and Mike Samuels and the rest of the offensive team just kept grinding away and keeping the score us ahead. And, you know, we contributed, you know, where we could. And we had a good defense that year, but that was definitely a team that pushed us. And it was under the lights. You know, anytime you're in Camp Randall and it's a night game, it's a special occasion. You know, our fans do a great job of keeping the energy high, especially for a night game after they've had all day to get ready for the game. And the jump around, you know, I remember being on the field and it happened, right? And we didn't know what it was going to become. We didn't even know it was going to happen. And it was pretty cool. I kind of thought, I was like, I hope the stands don't fall down. You know, I don't think it had ever seen anything like that. But, you know, a couple of us were looking up in the stands and say, can you believe that? That looks pretty cool, because you just see the red and white moving back and forth. And now when they look back to be a part of that, you know, I think in some of, like, maybe it was ESPN had it the number one college tradition, which is pretty cool. And even going back even a little further with Ryan Sondrup, you know, asking a couple of us, we were out one night and he had hurt his knee, and so he was working in the athletic department and picking the songs for it. And it was just one of those, like, hey, what do you guys think of Jump Around? And we're like, oh, yeah, that'd be a great song to play. And, you know, not knowing when he was going to play it in the sequence of that. But, gosh, I still think of him and just sitting around that, you know, just kind of one question he asked a group of guys, hey, what do you guys think about playing Jump Around during the game? And they're like, yeah, that sounds great. And for it to turn into what it did. So give all the credit right there to Ryan Sondrup. That's pretty cool.
You know, and real quick, too, just – oh, by the way, real quick, sorry, Joel. Like, I got the – stats, 23, you led the team in tackles that day with 23. And looking at that, like, it was 103 plays that the Boilermakers ran. 83 were passing, because it was a 55 of 83 for 494 yards by Breeze. So yeah, that you had quite the hand in containing that offense and getting that W in Camp Randall. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, that was a fun game. At 23 tackles, that's a lot. maybe I should have done a better job. I don't know if that's good or bad. Maybe I was the first one to get to a guy where I should have been there sooner.
you hope that's the case. I'm trying to decide the last question, but I'm gonna make it hard on you.
Oh boy.
You know, some people are talking about you know, if the Badgers only make it to the Rose Bowl, it'll be a letdown. You know, because they wouldn't be in the top four. You know, are Badger fans a little spoiled by the success? Have they, you know, I mean, you obviously worked your guts out to play in a Rose Bowl, and that was the biggest game. And to me, in my mind, still is the biggest game. I was never fortunate enough to play in it. And, you know, is that fair to say? I mean, is that unfair to say in terms of how Badger fans may be feeling if they don't make it to the playoff system? I mean, is that where we've gotten to now with this playoff system, where it's, you know, it's just another bowl game? What are your opinions on that?
It's fair. Yeah, I appreciate the hard question, especially after, you know, you gave me the softball when you called me a great athlete. So I will take your hard question. I think it's good. That outside pressure is going to happen. That chatter on the outside is going to happen. you know, knowing, you know, I don't know all the individuals on the coaching staff, but I know about them, and I know different people in the athletic department, and you know, they're going to be a representation of the people I know. So what I can say is, what's being talked about in the locker room and taking care of that family and taking care of that business and one game at a time. I think that the chatter is good. It does leak into it, but it's also some accountability. And you know, that will happen. Now if people start acting differently, right, because of it, yeah, then I think you have problems, but I think that's where good coaching and good senior leadership and even underclassmen leadership comes in. And it sounds like there was a players meeting, which, you know, maybe address, you know, some of that just to make sure that, you know, they keep the eye on the prize. This team has an opportunity. It's awesome. You know, coach would always talk about what legacy are you going to leave on this program. And they have a shot for just an unbelievable legacy that they've really laid out already. You think about the number of top 10 teams that they've had to play in the games that they've won, and, you know, and some of these that, you know, was just short. What they've done this year is just been phenomenal. So they have it in them. You know, it's better than fans talking about you and saying, yeah, I don't think you have a shot, right? So if people are saying that, you know, that's a good thing that they're saying that about the team. I don't think it affects what happens in a locker room. You know, players stay pretty focused on the task at hand. You know, and I think, you know, when push comes to shove in the, the community, right? People taking a trip out to Pasadena, I don't think that they would consider that a letdown, you know, if that's where they ended up having to go. But I think this team definitely has the ability. A lot of things are in their control right now to take Wisconsin to a level that we have never had. And so, you know, I'm cheering those kids on because I really think they have the opportunity. And they just look like they have so much fun doing it. That's great to see.
Yeah, and just to fact check Jake real quick, so that in regard to the athlete comment, I did not play in the game against Purdue. I was on the sidelines and suited up, but I was far from playing at that point, even in my.
Well, you're still there.
I was in uniform. I was without a long sleeve shirt on, with because I was a lineman tight end, so that was prohibited. And it was good to be in the locker room and on the sideline for that. It was definitely exciting. So
that's awesome.
But yeah, but you know, before we let you go, Bobby, one last thing on my end. You know, we detail your story in the book, and you know, you go from Southern Door. You know, you talk about. I mean, we chronicle talking about how you know, you're on a flight, you know, to Fargo for the North Dakota State. You get pulled back in. You walk on at Wisconsin. And then you have that your career where you're a captain, and you know, in three of the seasons, if I'm not mistaken, you were in the top five top five for tacklers. Is there a part of your story that you're most particularly proud of? Is there just in terms of going through adversity, or I mean, the '98 team obviously being such a success, and you guys pulling through? Is there one particular moment that you're most proud of, or you know, even a season that you're most proud of?
So most proud, I would have to say, being elected captain by the coaches and teammates. That's been, you know, a big honor to me, that was bestowed upon me. So that is as far as like one particular honor. The entire experience that was offered to me as a walk-on to be able to have a chance, right, get invited to camp and then be put in a position to be given, you know, an increased role to help the team, and being a part of the lives of just some great athletes, some great friends, the teammates, you know, and all these guys as we go through that you still consider your family. It was just a cool experience how Wisconsin under Coach Alvarez's leadership embraced that walk-on program, and it wasn't just the lip service, you know, I mean, he would give anybody a shot that could help the football team. And you know, as I look back, you know, at some of the walk-ons, I'm probably different than a Jimmy Leonard or a J.J. Watt. Abadaris. I mean, these guys that are going into pros, at some point you might consider these maybe just some recruiting misses to some extent. I didn't watch any film on them. Whereas, like, I was a little different. Like, I could have been a walk-on. Like, that makes sense. That's not outside the realm, you know, but I never thought that I was going to not make it, you know, when I went to Wisconsin. You know, I hope I'm on the team in 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. Like I'm going to play football. It just have to be a little bit different. So that opportunity that he granted was phenomenal. And even looking back and going through getting the education at the University of Wisconsin, you know, as I've moved around and lived around the U.S., that holds so much weight that you probably don't realize as much when you live in the state of Wisconsin, but it's a great academic institution, a great program. So yeah, I'm proud of all of it, but if you push me for one issue or one thing, it'd probably be the captain and the Rose Bowl, you know, winning that. It was a great experience because everybody asks you when they hear that you played in the Rose Bowl, the second question is, did you win? So, you know, you don't get all dressed up to lose, you know, it's kind of been my response to that. So yeah, we did.
Awesome. Awesome. Bobby, it's been great talking with you. Hope to catch up with you down the line. Maybe we'll catch you, depending on how the Wisconsin does, I'll catch you hopefully maybe in Indianapolis or maybe during a college football playoff game or bowl game if you guys make it down there. Hopefully we can catch up down the road and talk more.
Yeah, let's do it. That sounds great. Thanks, fellas. Great job on the show. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Bobby.
Guys, it's Bobby Adamoff, former team captain, Wisconsin Badgers outside linebacker. Strong safety still in his heart. On that note, we're going to take just play part two of our interview with Connor Udelhoven, the Wisconsin Badgers long snapper at the moment. Play that for a few minutes. Come back. We'll preview Purdue, talk some more about the Wisconsin Badgers and some WIAA state playoffs with some current walk-on commits playing for a state title in their respective divisions. This is Walk On Wisconsin.
What's the difference with different folders?
You know, I guess everyone's just a little bit different with their size, but I think what our holder has done a really good job at is just making it similar for me because, you know, some guys get longer, shorter arms will catch it at a different place, but through that they've been able to know where they're catching it. So all the holders have really done a good job of keeping where they're catching the ball at the same place, which has been really nice, whether they need to, for them, really reach their arms out to get it or if they like catching it close to their body. All the holders have really adjusted well to all be catching the ball in the same spot and what they feel comfortable with too. So it's really been fairly seamless with all our holders, which is really a credit to them being able to champion their role and put me in a good spot to help them put them in a good spot too.
Yeah, and you know, kind of going back to your story, from Minnesota if I'm not mistaken, and and how did you wind up at Wisconsin?
Yeah, I guess I've always wanted to come here. I've been a Badger fan. I just go to school. The first time I came here is with my cousin who ended up coming here too. He's an athletic trainer for us, which is really cool. Our first game with our dads was when we were 4 years old, and we ever since then, I think when we were four, we looked at each other and we were like, we got to come here. And fortunately, I guess going into the day after I graduated high school, we had our high school graduation ceremony and we had to lock in, so we were up a little bit late, and I just had a message back home from one of the coaches back in, I guess, 2012 summer it would have been. So yeah, the day after I graduated high school, I got a call from Wisconsin, and you know, I guess the rest is history. They didn't have to do too much recruiting from there. So I've always been a huge Badger fan, and I guess never in my wildest dreams I'd imagine be at this point. But it was, I guess, really cool. It was a little late in the process, but it didn't matter one bit to me. I was all hands on deck from there.
Sounds similar, like with Jack Stitchy, with you know, like Ryan Conley came from Minnesota as mm-hmm. well, and obviously Joe Schoberg with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was even. I thought I got recruited fairly late, and then I come in with a guy like Joe who had been, you know, I guess I would have been maybe a month earlier from when we got our physicals, a month and a half. And then I hear Schoberg comes in, we got our physicals together, and he had been called, you know, I think 8 days before that. And I'm just like, geez, man, that's absolutely incredible. So it was, I guess, really cool, and I've been fortunate to be where I am now.
Yeah, and you know, looking at him, I mean, talking with a bunch of specialists, you know, covering the team and more than that, it's, you know, they say, you know, specialists are people too, the hashtag. But what have you seen, like, when it comes to just having that, you know, like the bond between you guys. We've spoken with many throughout different generations where but what have you seen, like, the bond between you guys?
Yeah, just, I guess, within the group of specialists, it's such a unique spot where, I guess, it's obviously a crucial part of the game, but kind of it's not always seen as much of a position as really everything else on the field. You know, a lot of people, I guess, explaining sometimes if they don't know the long snapper, I just kind of say it's your fourth down center sometimes. And I guess it's just a cool, tight-knit group of people because as a specialist, it's not like you're directly competing against each other. And a lot of times through that, you can really, you know, you kind of, you're not rooting for the whole team, but, you know, you can really root for the other guys to have a good game from the specialist-wise. And I think through that, just there's a lot of, I guess, different camps that we've been able to go to. I worked with or been with Coles in their camps, and they have one camp that gets all, I think there's over 120 of specialists from all over the country that came together. So it's really cool that we can have camps like that, and I just don't know if any other position group really gets that many people from that many different teams all in one spot. And, you know, I guess it's just, all of us kind of have the same mentality towards the game. And it's really cool when all of us can get together in a place like that.
And you know, how have you guys like worked with like you know Andrew Endicott? I know that you know, there are a couple rough outings, but you rebounded last week. How are you guys? I mean, what support do you guys? How do you guys give him support?
Yeah.
When you have rough times.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, really just being there for him. He knows what his job's to do and what he wants to do, and we know that he's doing his putting his best foot forward. And our confidence in Andy's never wavered. We've always known he can do a great job in there, and he proves it day in and day out at practice. And I think something the team has really done a good job of, too, is really keeping him up, too, because I don't know if that's true with every team. You know, sometimes you see the kicker miss a few kicks, and guys will start, you know, saying this, that, and this. But all of, from top to bottom, coaches, players, and within the specialists, I think have really done just a great job of saying, you know, we're going to need you later. We're going to, you know, keep it going. And everyone's just kept very positive. And like I said, within the specialist group, and I think it's really shown within the team and the comments they've had, that, you know, our confidence in him has always been high.
Last question, and on a lighter note, favorite game that you guys play as an ultimate specialist that you guys enjoy the most? Andrew talked to us a little
bit
about that.
Yeah, during practice, I guess maybe not always, outside of practice and stuff, we like to just kind of, you know, punt, snap, and kick. A lot of people do the punt, pass, and kick. You get it through the field goal. We like to add the snapping aspect to give a little love to the snappers. And also, I guess recently we've been big cricket fans. We'll go double on the dartboard, go doubles, and play that a little bit. So that's always been fun, keep the mood light in the group.
Yeah, that was Connor Udelhoven. Big thanks to him talking with us today on Walk at Player Availability. Jay Kukurowski, we've got Joel Nellis here. Big thanks to also Bobby Adamoff. Joel and I had a great time talking with him about his story, and you can catch his story, of course, hashtag cheap plug, Walk On This Way, the ongoing legacy of the Wisconsin football walk-on tradition. Of course, in stores, KCISports.com, Bucky's Locker Room, University Bookstore locations, and coming soon, I think, Barnes & Noble in Milwaukee and Madison. So it is, Joel, you know, before we get into Purdue, you're an assistant coach at Brookfield Central, and you know this, just the WIAA state playoffs are concluding with the state championships coming up. When you guys hear it, probably it'll be Thursday, which is the day of. Throughout 2 days, you have seven divisions. And there are some Wisconsin walk-on commits, actually, that are playing. And that starts with Division 6 tomorrow, Regis versus Darlington. If you wonder, Darlington sounds familiar. That's former walk-on team captain, current Cincinnati Bengals receiver slash returner Alex Erickson's hometown, and he was amazing there as a dual threat quarterback for the Redbirds. But now Hunter Johnson, a running back, was named the Elroy Crazy Legs Hirsch Award winner, first team All State in the state's Offensive Player of the Year by the WFCA. They take on Regis, and you know, I don't know how much you hear about it, but what have you heard? Have you heard anything about Johnson or even had a chance to watch maybe his huddle film or whatnot?
No, I have not, but I saw the stats one game, and it was just – or not one game. At one point in the year, he had like 90 carries and 30 touchdowns. So he scored 53 times, touch the ball. It's pretty darn good. And, you know, going back to, you know, Jimmy's story. I mean, he plays in a small division and people chalk it up to that. I'm guessing when he gets here, he's going to be the real dude. I mean, I don't care what division you're in. That takes some kind of athlete to score that many times and to put B. And I know there's not always great opponents, but I'm going to go with the based on how these stories usually unfold is that he's going to have another big chip on his shoulder from people telling him he played in such a small division, and then that's only going to fuel the fire. So I'm excited to see what he does in the state championship game, and more excited to see what he does here at Wisconsin.
Absolutely. And he actually even added, I mean, he's had some interceptions too on the defensive side of the ball. Just real quick, you know, some stats off of wisports.net with your friend Travis Wilson. Johnson, 2,000 yards so far, 2,076 yards from what it looked like, 155 carries. Really impressive there. And he also threw a 27-yard touchdown pass against St. Mary Springs in that 24-20 win to get him to state. There's also place kicker Colin Larsh, another preferred walk-on commit from Monona Grove. They take on your rivals, Brookfield East, for the Division II crown early Friday afternoon. And, again, another in-state kid that first-team All-State selection earned the Kevin Stemke Award given to the best senior kicker or punter. If Brookfield East sounds familiar, it's because Alec James himself, the current starting defensive end for the Wisconsin Badgers, played at Brookfield East there. And then last one, quarterback Danny Vandenboom, he's a Wisconsin legacy. He will be son of former Wisconsin safety Matt Vandenboom. You know Kimberly, the Papermakers, they're going for their 56th consecutive victory, fourth straight title. And, you know, this is a broken record, right, Joel? Like, first team All-State, another award given from wisports.net, this time for Vandenboom, the Dave Craig Award, which is the state's most outstanding senior quarterback. 29 touchdown passes, almost 70% of his passes completed in this season. It's, you know this, where sometimes this state is underrated when it comes to prep talent, and these kids could, we don't know, we're not going to put so much pressure on them, but knowing the tradition of the walk-ons here, their opportunity comes. They are in a good place, and it just seems like Wisconsin, especially now with Paul Crist back as head coach, can develop the talents of these players with this coaching staff to their fullest extent.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of kids that are coming in, and any kid from the state of Wisconsin, and maybe Kevin Lyles is the exception. Obviously, he was – played the majority of his high school ball in another place, but not taking anything away from him. But, you have to find the best talent within your state, and that's what makes the program so unique. And, kids nowadays are turning down offers from much bigger places, you know, than they have in the past to come and walk on. And that may be because they're getting, 2 years off and then 3 years promised to them. You don't really know the story, but you know they're going to get a chance. They see the success of the kids that have come in recently, and they know how important it is. And I think that's what the biggest thing is. You look at the outside linebackers, you look at Leo Musso, you look at Alex Ingold, you know, there's all these guys that are just basically saying, hey, the state is important to us, football is important to us here, and we can make an impact on a national level. So, come along for the ride. So it's exciting to see, and I'm excited to see their futures here at Wisconsin.
Now jumping ahead, usually a good time, time flies when you're having fun, and we're going a little over what we thought we would today, but that's perfectly fine. We're going to preview Purdue real quick. Obviously, they're struggling on 3-7, 1-6 in conference. They fired Daryl Hazel after, just a horrendous start and just never fully took off in terms of just the vision there. But with just some notable games. We talked with Bobby about that 1998 game, jump around, trying to contain that Purdue offense Bobby mentioned with a very pass happy. And we also referenced, another notable game in the 2004 game. I had a chance to watch it on YouTube, kind of on repeat for the past, for a half hour when I got home from work from the day job. And Joel, you were on the sideline. What's the emotion when you see on the sideline Kyle Orton making that naked bootleg, running for that first down, and then the fumble, and then the ensuing chaos of the touchdown?
It's funny. I don't remember the play per se. The only thing I remember, Sparky running the end zone, or Rob Brooks you know, Rob Beasley, you know, knocking the ball out and Sparky running in and then just trying to remember. And I'm always a big picture guy. I'm always a, you know, panic button guy. So remembering that there is X amount of time on the clock. I mean, that play did not end it. And Coach Alvarez references this a couple of times. I remember him, you know, going to the spot on the field where he thought the kicker would have to be to, you know, attempt that last field goal with a decent chance. And he was there, staying on the sidelines. And then the ball, like, got past that point, and you're like, oh, God, you know, this is going to go from chaos, you know, from amazing play to, you know, heartbreak in a minute. And obviously, the kid didn't put it through the uprights. And that locker room celebration was one I'll never forget. It was amazing. And, you know, it's one of those memories you take with you and appreciate. But again, I remember the play because you're on the sidelines, obviously, not as good as the camera replays. But again, persevering to that last final drive, defense has to go back on the field after all that emotion and then, you know, basically knuckle up to play the last drive. So, and we talked about this on Twitter today a little bit, but I referenced this with my current principal, who is a principal in West Lafayette at the time. And, you know, the Purdue program has not been the same since that play. And that's evident by the statistics. And Daryl Hazel, from what I sounded like, was a great guy in the community, but, you know, couldn't get the wins needed. And that's the nature of the game these days. So.
Absolutely. And, you know, just real quick, we're going to try to do two on this. This podcast is also note to some of the walk-ons making impacts on the Boilermakers right now, on opposing teams, not just to, it kind of shows you just how well Wisconsin and how deep the tradition is here. There are a couple people, according to Hammer and Rails, our SB Nation cousins that cover the Purdue Boilermakers. Travis Miller had mentioned that Antonio Blackman, he's a defensive back, had an interception against Minnesota earlier this year, but also Jarrett Burgess and Malcolm Dotson play a lot of special teams. Burgess in particular is an interesting story, according to Miller, because he's a former pro baseball player that walked on last year after not playing football in about a decade. So that's an intriguing story right there. And you know, you hear sometimes maybe players that are in the armed forces. I think there's a Badger a few years back that played that was in the military and then came back, and he was a little bit older and was a walk-on on that note. It's really impressive just to see, you know, players like that, at, you know, former pro baseball player and a lot of walk-ons for that matter. And Joel, you know this too, where they play multiple sports. Ben Strickland mentioned it to me 3 years ago, talking about having those multi-sport athletes gives them a competitive edge. Obviously Purdue doesn't have the tradition Wisconsin has, on that note, but looking at this game, you know, we're going to go to our walk-on to watch pick since we're running out of time a little bit. We're looking at, obviously, Purdue, one of the worst defenses in the nation, definitely the conference. They're giving up almost 250 yards on the ground. The one shining moment on their end, they lead the conference in passing. Dakota Dixon, when I talked to him earlier today, mentioned he praised David Blau, the sophomore quarterback, has a big arm, can elude the pass rush here and there. But who is your, in your opinion, the walk-on to watch pick for this week?
I got to go Conley. I mean, I think, you know, with, even though they're planted, you know, if you look at how the game has to unfold for Badgers to win, you know, the defense has to stop them because obviously they do have a pretty decent, a really good offense. So, you know, Conley in the middle. You know, the hard part about spread offenses today, and it's a little bit different than the spread offense that, you know, Joe Tiller had run out with the run shoot more so, was that, you know, a lot of these spread offenses are more run-based and trying to create one-on-one matchups. So, you know, Conley not only has to defend the inside pass game, but also has to be responsible for run. You know, so I look for him to have to be the guy that's going to be a difference maker from the walk-on front.
And I'll go on my end. I'll go Dare Ogunbowale, 103 yards last week against Illinois. This Purdue team has given up almost 250 yards on the ground. I predict just with this rebuilt offensive line now where it's solidified, you have, you know, Ryan Ramczyk, walk-on, left tackle, Dietzen at left guard, Michael Dieter center, Bo Benchwall at right guard, and now you have David Edwards, a converted tight end, converted prep quarterback. in at right tackle. That line was really impressive last week against Illinois, an overmatched Illinois team against an even more overmatched Purdue team, and with the conditions possibly being kind of crappy with some rain and cold, I think the rushing attack really takes it to the Boilermakers if they can hold on to the ball. That's huge. I think I'm going to say bold prediction, 3 running backs get over 120 yards. And that includes Ogunbowale. No, I'm being serious. Like I mean, I think Ogunbowale, with Clement and just, I mean, there's so many injuries on Purdue's front. I think Ogunbowale goes for about 150. That's my bold prediction right there, man.
Giddy up. Got to go big. Go big or go home.
All right. On that note, folks, we're going to wrap up the show. We have one more thing we want to talk about, and it's something a little serious. It's something crazy, but, you know, Joel and I, I've covered the team now for a little bit, and we interviewed Andrew Endicott, the current place kicker for the book. His full story wasn't on there just due to the board count and whatnot, but we want to talk about just, you know, he struggled. He's 10 of 15 on the season. About 66% for 67%, and he rebounded nicely from Illinois, but he did have some rough weeks. And just from what we've heard, you know, Jeff Patricus had the article talking about how Endicott heard from fans about saying to him to drink bleach, to do just stuff like that. You know, just really disheartening things about the kicker that's uncalled for, especially for a kid that has put so much in the program. And for people to go behind their computers or their mobile phones and making these really just, I'll call it despicable messages is really disheartening. And Joel wanted to talk about it. So, Joel, I'll give you the floor, my friend.
Yeah, and I wrote this in. I typically do better when I write something serious to write it out ahead of time to make sure it sounds good. So if it sounds a little too wordy, well, so it goes. I've heard recently, that the quote, that comes with the job. It's a line that, to me as a coach, is growing particularly frustrating. Coaches and players are being criticized, berated, harassed about their play and decision making. And instead of people coming to their defense, many people respond with, "Well, they knew that what they were getting into, or that comes with the territory, or that's just part of the job." And I'm probably not the first one to say it, but let me again reiterate: no. It isn't part of the job. And Andrew Endicott, like Jake had mentioned, has fallen under some, unnecessary and distasteful criticisms in recent weeks. I took to Twitter the other week after a field goal that he missed against Northwestern because there appeared to be a flood of kicking coaches diagnosing the situation, criticizing the miss, and chastising the coaches for not having him ready for the. And I don't know where that is in the job description of being a college athlete, and how that is perceived as being okay. Jake and I certainly understand the passion that people have for Badger football. They invest, most of their fall Saturdays cheering on their team. And when things don't go as planned, frustration can certainly set in. But before you take your frustration out on a player, I kind of wrote down 3 things you may want to think about. Number 1, know how much he's invested. The players work diligently all year round to hone their craft in the weight room, on the field, and in the film room. And unlike your hobby of watching the game, this is essentially what I've heard one coach term as a very low-paying full-time job on top of being a student. The player understands that all of his teammates are counting on him, regardless of the position he plays, and the pressure exists well before he steps on the field and would never intentionally do anything to mess them up or mess up their chances at a successful season. The next point is, even if they heard you, which they can't, and they took your opinion seriously, which they don't, would it help them in their future performance? We talk to our student athletes a lot about their presence on social media, and to imagine that every post they had would be broadcast on the Jumbotron at Camp Randall Stadium in the middle of a game, because that's how public it may become. And if you take that same thing as a fan, and if the players were to read your post during the middle of a game on the Jumbotron, would it inspire them to play better, or would it destroy their confidence? And I think most people know the answer to that. And obviously that would do nothing to help the Badgers have a chance of win, which is the ultimate goal that most fans are cheering for. And then lastly is, just because you can post something, should you post it? And, you know, Coach Chris can call Hail Mary every single play. He has the ability to do that, but obviously it isn't best for the team. You have the right, you know, to post whatever it is that you want. But in the moment, you know, while it may make you feel better, in the long run, it probably does more harm than good. So, you know, we understand all that comes with being a Badger football player. And, you know, these kids, they are kids, and they're on, some of them are on scholarship, some are not, and they're doing the best job they possibly can. So, you know, please give them at the very least, stay away from their family and people that they love. And, you know, if you feel the need, then, you know, maybe I won't say what I should say, but, you know, disrespect them. They're trying to do the best they can. They know their teammates are counting on them. They want to do everything they can. They put in so much work, so many hours. And, you know, you owe them that respect to probably keep the negative things you have to say to yourself or offline, because that does go on your permanent record as well, and people will notice that.
On that note, that's Jake and Joel's PSA for hopefully the month. Hopefully we don't have to say anything else about anything going forward on that note. But, yeah, on that note, you know, next week we'll talk Minnesota. We'll talk Axe Week. We'll try to get some guests on. I think we can get at least one member of that special teams crew that blocked the 2005. That was part of the punt block team that 2005. That one of the greatest finishes in Wisconsin football history. And you were also on the sideline and trying to pull people back so that they would not get an excessive celebration penalty. If I'm not mistaken, did I read that right? Did I remember that right?
No. Yeah, I'll tell that story. That's a good one. We'll save that one for next week.
Check out Bucky's Fifth Quarter for all your news, notes, analysis. I won't be down there in West Lafayette. I will be there for the Minnesota game next Saturday. Check out our Twitter handles at Mr_Nellis, NELLIS. Me at JCocoB5Q. We're going to have some book signing information coming out in the next couple of weeks about some Milwaukee signings. So get out and enjoy. Hopefully we'll see you there, and I'm sure you'll hear us on the radio. Hopefully hear us on the radio in the next couple of weeks promoting those ventures. So on behalf of Joel Nellis, it's Jay Kukurowski. You guys have a great week. Stay warm this weekend, and we'll see you again on another edition of Walk On Wisconsin.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be confusing, like Swedish techno confusing.
Bark, bark, meow, meow. Dance with me, purple cow. Bark, bark, meow, meow. Ooh, you lovely cow.
Geico makes it easy. With 24/7 access, all you have to do is go to geico.com and you could save money on car insurance. It just makes sense. Unlike, you know.
Dance with me, purple cow. I like your move.